Hi, this is Giovanni. You've heard me on the radio for years, and now I want to invite you to listen to my new podcast on the iHeartRadio app. It's called The Art of Improvement. You can download it on the iHeartRadio app. We talk about entrepreneurship, improving your life, your career, and believing in yourself. One of my favorite quotes is from gold medalist Michael Phelps. There will be obstacles, there will be doubters, there will be mistakes, but with hard work, there are no limits. It's called The Art of Improvement. Download it now by Giovanni Murata.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations all over the place. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. The live video feed is there, too. It's the Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Wednesday.
Well, it's pump day.
Oh, it's a hump day.
On the Joe Pags Show.
Right? That is Kerry Lockie. Kerry, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Making it happen?
Yes.
I think you probably are.
I am.
Now, I'm not sure if you're going to get what you've been asking me for the past hour almost.
Mm-hmm.
That's Marky Mark, by the way,
with
the hump day.
Why do you do that? You tease it. Oh, it's so horrible, but I can't do it. I'm not going to.
Said it was horrible. See, now you're putting words in my mouth. I never said it was horrible.
Well, I guess I just assumed. Well,
what
you
I said
say
was,
stupid.
OMG, there's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was horrible.
Oh, okay.
And for a second, you assumed. Almost appeared to be concerned about my health, my mental health.
Well, I was. I just wanted to make sure you were okay before I, you know, jabbed you with.
Well, if I play this on the air, you'll know if I'm okay or not.
Okay.
Well, see, I did one parody that people expect me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've teased it for two straight days. I have to do that one.
Yeah. Oh, there was
and
a
then
second.
I had a couple of minutes on my hands.
Oh, dear. Uh-huh.
And really, when I do one, and I'm cracking up hearing it back saying, I can't play this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to admit, it's really stupid.
Okay, yes?
No, but it's stupid.
Well, what is it? What are you talking
about?
It's
about Omarosa.
Two Omarosa.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's the song?
Well, I can't tell you that because you know how stupid it is.
Well, come on. Give us a
little You've got
hint.
Your choice. Now, let me say this. I love my listeners. Love, girl, love.
Mm.
But Jennifer wrote me like an entire parody, and you should do this, and here's the chorus.
Oh,
and
stop. No, Jennifer.
That is not how we do it.
No.
I write, and I perform the parodies. Now, I am open to suggestions. Try this song. Would this one work? I think that's cool. The only other person who's allowed to write a parody for me is Barry Bess, my former producer, who wrote a couple early on, and they were very good. Now, he actually tried to sing one. You remember when we played Barry singing one?
I do remember that. You should probably stick
I don't know
with
if it's a Canada thing.
Mm.
I don't know if it's a Canadian thing or what the story is. But no.
Yeah, I went
no.
on that one.
I think growing up, probably his ears got so cold.
It affected
that they
his
lost
hearing.
The ability to tell what tone. You know, he's singing.
Probably
or,
it.
Just not good.
I love him.
I was so bad,
cool.
I redid the song just to sing it in tune. You know what I'm saying?
I do remember
and
that.
He's a great guy.
He's awesome.
A great guy.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
And again, if he wants to write one, I'll do it. But other than that, don't be writing me a parody. I mean, my daughter can't even write a parody that I'm going to sing.
Mm-mm.
Although, Sam and I have, I've actually done one with you on the line, right, Sam?
Yeah, well, I did kind of write one for you, but you totally redid it.
Redid, right. Because that's who I am. So why waste your time, you know, if you're going to do one? And I've often said this, and I'm not being a smartass when I say it back to you. If you write a parody you want me to perform, perform it yourself. Put it out there on your Facebook page. Take the credit for it. God bless you. You can find all sorts of karaoke stuff on YouTube. So I mean, you can always find the music if you have to. But, yeah, I've got a couple today. One, again, people are expecting. The other one, because there's something wrong with me. Now,
that's
I think I'll probably hold
hear.
Off on playing them to the bottom of the hour because we had these elections last night that I want to get into, that I want to talk about. One woman won the primary last night in Minnesota. And if you'll just a very shallow dive into who she is and what her history is tells you there's something really wrong with you, Minnesota. I mean, what on earth are you thinking? Now, Keith Ellison also won last night, although he's going to have a hard time in November because, I guess, Kerry, I heard you say this earlier, thousands of write-in.
Ballot, yeah.
Yeah, early voting and write-ins
early.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Before all this
thousands.
Came out. Mm-hmm. The allegations.
Right. So that could change big time But this woman who won the primary for Keith Ellison's seat needs to be defeated in November. And it has nothing to do with her religion. It has nothing to do with her gender. Has nothing to do with she's from Somalia. It has everything to do with what she has said about a certain religion of people. And it also has to do with who she may or may not have married. So we'll talk about that in a moment. Carrie, if you don't mind, give me the nuts and bolts on that race. There's another, I guess there was another race in Vermont where the Democrat nominee for governor is a transgendered woman or something.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So we have that. We have a couple of Muslims in, I guess one is in Michigan, one is in Minnesota. But this one in Minnesota is really, really troubling. And I'll tell you why. First, give us the actual news story of what happened last night.
From CNBC, two Democrats are poised to become the first Muslim women in Congress, offering a sharp counterpoint to the anti-Muslim policies and sentiment surfacing in Washington and across the country. I don't know how you say her name. Ilhan, I believe.
I don't know.
Ilhan
no
Omar, idea. A Minnesota state lawmaker and Somali-American former refugee, is favored to take a seat in Congress after winning her Democratic primary in a left-leaning Minnesota district on Tuesday. She faces a challenge from Republican Jennifer Zielinski in November. And in Michigan last week, Palestinian-American Rashida Tlaib won her Detroit area primary and runs unopposed in November. In a year when a record number of women are running for Congress and races across the country include gay, lesbian, and transgender candidates, Omar and Tlaib represent a new addition to the diversity of this election cycle. Omar attracted national attention after becoming the first Somali-American elected to Minnesota legislature, unseating a 22-term Democratic incumbent. At her primary run, she received support from left-leaning groups and an endorsement from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whose stunning primary upset over 10-term incumbent Joseph Crowley in New York made national headlines. If Omar wins in November, she will fill Representative Keith Ellison's seat. Democrat Ellison, who in 2006 became the first Muslim to be elected in Congress, decided to run for Minnesota Attorney General and won his primary despite an allegation of domestic abuse arising late in the campaign, an accusation he denies. Born in Somalia, Omar spent 4 years of her childhood in a Kenyan refugee camp before moving to the United States. Her district encompasses Minneapolis and surrounding suburban areas, home to the largest Somali community in the country. President Donald Trump has targeted Omar's district, warning that Somali immigrants are a disaster for Minnesota. Omar and Tlaib have vehemently opposed the president's ban on travelers from several Muslim-majority countries. And in 2016, Tlaib famously heckled Trump during his speech in Detroit.
There you go. So who is this woman in Minnesota? I don't know the person in Michigan, whatever. And let me make this clear off the top, and this is as direct as I can make it. I don't care what your religion is. If you want to be a representative or a senator or even the president of the United States, you want to be a mayor, you want to be a city councilman, you want to be somebody like that, fine. State lawmaker, get her done. I don't care what religion you are. What I care is if you understand that you are constrained as a government official by the Constitution. The Constitution is a document that restrains government from restricting our freedoms and liberties. That's what it is. It is not the government giving us freedoms and liberties. The freedoms and liberties are given to us by the Creator, by God, by nature if you don't believe in God, by the universe if you're a doofus. But they're given to us because we are human. The government is then restricted by the Constitution as to what rights it can and can't restrict, take away, or regulate. That's what the Constitution does. I don't know this person, Ilan, whatever her name is. I don't know her. Found out, I heard her name first time yesterday. I don't live in Minnesota. Those of you in Minnesota need to learn about who this person is. If she believes in Sharia law, I don't want her to win because Sharia law actually is in opposition to the Constitution. Sharia law is an overwhelming regulating restrictive set of rules and regulations for Muslims. So if she believes in that, I want her to lose. Just on that count. Now, if she doesn't believe in that, she puts our Constitution before Sharia law. Okay, fine. Run all you want. If you're a good candidate, you should win. Until you look into her a little bit. And this is really concerning for me. It turns out this candidate has a real problem with Israel. Now, Carrie, if I heard you right, you said that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I'm sure has many Jews in her district in New York, is now supporting this woman to win.
Correct.
Okay, because again, I don't know that this woman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, knows anything about anything at all. Her comments on the economy are ridiculous. Her comments on Israel-Palestine, ridiculous. Her comments on turning seats blue or red, ridiculous. Her comments on how cheap it would be to have Medicare for all, which would be $32 trillion, is ridiculous. Nothing she said has made any sense. So I'm actually not surprised that she's supporting a Muslim woman who hates Jews. This is from the Jewish Journal. And this is a tweet by this woman, so it is not deniable. One of the Democratic candidates in the Minnesota congressional race has a history of anti-Israel statements, most notably that Israel has hypnotized the world. Ilhan Omar is a Somalian woman who came to the United States through a Kenyan refugee camp at the age of 12, was elected to the Minnesota House in 2016, currently running for Congress in the district vacated by Representative Keith Ellison, Democrat Minnesota, who's running for Minnesota Attorney General, and has past associations with Louis Farrakhan. As she is gaining notoriety, some of her past tweets on Israel are coming under scrutiny. In 2012, Omar tweeted, "Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evils of Israel." When someone on Twitter accused Omar of being a proud Jew hater over the tweet, she responded, "Drawing attention to the apartheid Israeli regime is far from hating Jews. You are a hateful, sad man. I pray to Allah you get the help you need and find happiness. Hey, Minnesota, I don't care how blue Minneapolis-St. Paul is. Get your head out of your collective ass and don't elect somebody who hates Jewish people, who hates Israel, who is this bold and brash in her hatred, and who will gladly pray to Allah that you get set straight on how wrong you are." What she said was anti-Jew, anti-Israel. If you're a Christian, if you're a Jew, this woman does not agree with you on anything when it comes to Israel. Israel, we Christians believe, is the promised land. The Jews believe that too, because that's where they live. That's their homeland. Israel was the home of the Jews 2,000 years before anybody had ever heard of Islam, okay? So let's stop the BS, let's stop the pussyfooting around, let's stop the PC BS, and let's get right down to it. This woman says she hates Israel, you just let her win a primary. What's wrong with you? Oh, on top of that, there are allegations that she married her brother, that she is denied, she calls them ridiculous, but she has given no proof that the guy wasn't her brother. And in the divorce decree, according to PJ Media, and I've posted that over on Twitter as well, she claimed in the divorce decree from this guy, many are saying was her brother, she says it wasn't, whatever, that she hadn't seen him since 2011. Yet there is a plethora of pictures from social media showing her and this guy together well past 2011. So she lied on a legal document as well. Look, if this is who you want because she's cute, and she's a good-looking lady, and because you think that she's a Somali, so therefore she must be looking out for the Somalian population of Minneapolis-St. Paul, I can't stop you from voting for her, but I can tell you the truth about what she's tweeted, what she said, and what she swore to in a legal document. These things are all undeniably true. Now, if you're in Minnesota, I would like to hear from you, because I think there's something wrong with an electorate that would vote for somebody who has ties to Keith Ellison, who has ties to Louis Farrakhan. And we know Louis Farrakhan hates all the Jews. And now she actually, we have her documented as hating Israel and the Jews. Please let me understand how you voted this person in last night. Now, she hasn't won yet. And I hope to God and to Allah that the Republican gets a really good shot here in November. And we hope that this woman doesn't win. I don't want somebody to win who has a hatred for a certain religion or geography of people. It's not okay. Matter of fact, it's the opposite of okay. And somebody needs to, if you're a journalist in Minneapolis-St. Paul, I hope that you've got the wherewithal to ask this woman in a debate and in interviews that she does, what are your thoughts on Sharia law? Because Sharia law and the Constitution are at odds. They are. And that's a question that is righteous for you to ask somebody who clearly has a hatred for Israel and who clearly doesn't mind not telling the truth on legal documents, according to PJ Media. 1-888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Setting a reminder before you forget.
Alexa, wake me up with 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
Is as easy as that.
All right, great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. JPDC, you know what I'm saying, Carrie?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I don't care. I don't care to pretend that things are what they're not. This woman, as far as I've read, is connected with CARE, which is a group that has ties to radical Islam. Keith Ellison, somebody who I guess handpicked her to take his place in that district. Somebody who has ties to Louis Farrakhan, a Jew-hating anti-Semite, divisive piece of garbage, bigot. You know, you get a situation where the woman actually puts it. You know, it's like Linda Sarsour, one of the organizers of the Women's March, the so-called Women's March, which is really the radical leftist march. There is a known history on her Twitter feed pushing, wouldn't it be great to have no interest on your credit card? That's Sharia law. She wants Sharia law. And look, if you have not looked up Sharia law and you're just hearing people like me say it, look it up. Look it up online. Look it up and find out about it, because it is not good. It is inequitable. It is a batch of laws that tell women you're 50% of a man. They tell a man, look, if she steps out of line, even looks at you funny, you can beat her. So, look, if you want that, I mean, somebody in Minnesota needs to ask this woman, Sharia law, what are your thoughts? Somebody has to ask that question. Now, I've seen on Twitter, like a guy from Minneapolis, St. Paul, say, there's really nothing we can do because that it's a very, very large concentration of Somalis, therefore Muslims, and they just want a Muslim to win. Well, then move your ass back to the neighborhood, Minneapolis, St. Paul, move back in. They're not allowed to segregate parts of the city. I thought we were against segregation. But if you're not Muslim, you can't live there? Why? Since when? Is it not Minnesota anymore? And again, if you're a Muslim listening to my show, and I've got plenty of Muslims who listen, peaceful, peace-loving, Constitution-loving Muslims. If you're a Muslim listening to my program and you're voting for somebody because she's Muslim, that's a problem. I would never, ever, ever, never vote for the guy because he was white or Italian. That would be stupid. I would only vote for the person that most aligns with my beliefs. Do you hate Israel too? Then vote for her. Are you cool with that? Are you cool with her never really truly explaining who this guy was that she married? And to say that she hadn't had any contact with him since 2011, when there are known pictures that she did, is that okay? I don't know. Maybe I'm missing the point here. Let me go to the phone lines, because hopefully somebody's going to straighten me out on this, because I am confused. And again, those of you across the nation, if you're wondering, well, why are you focusing on Minneapolis? Because this woman is a problem. I'm not even mentioning the Muslim in Michigan. I don't know anything about her, but she might be great. And it doesn't bother me if somebody is Muslim, as long as they say Constitution before Sharia law. I'm down. This woman seems to be a person you don't want representing your state or a district in your state. I mean, she's openly said that she has a problem with Jews. Can you imagine somebody in this country, Carrie, in this day and age, can somebody running for office say, listen, I've got a major problem with Muslims?
No, no.
How would that go?
It would go horribly. They would not get elected.
I think not only wouldn't they get elected, I don't think that the Board of Elections would allow them on the ballot. I think they would say, we're not going to allow you on the ballot. Yeah. Let me go to the phone lines to see what you think about all this. Jason is in Minnesota. Jason, what's up?
Hey, Joe. Good to talk to you.
Thanks.
Just on Johan, I hadn't heard of her before the primary, but living in Minnesota, working in Minneapolis, working around a small community, like you said, very peaceful, good family people, I still believe she will win no matter what. It is a deep, deep blue state. Even deeper blue city.
It is not a deep blue state. I mean, it was almost red in the presidential election. 1.5 points is all the Democrat won by, Hillary Clinton won by in Minnesota. Minnesota is teetering.
Well, that was Hillary Clinton.
On purple. It's not a deep blue state. In fact, the geography of your state is red, very red if you look at it geographically. But I think you're probably right. She probably is going to win unless we expose who this person is, what she said, what she believes. I don't think it's asking too much. Let's find out who this really is. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Harry Show.
All right, great radio stations all over. joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. The Joe Pags Show on your radio, on the live stream. That's Carrie Lockie. We appreciate you stopping by. By the way, when you stop by the social media, Instagram is more of the personal picture, maybe family, maybe dogs, maybe working out. I will put some show stuff on there, but not as much. Last night I posted a picture of just a sunset in the backyard. So yeah, that's just for that. And quite a few people have been logging on, but it's only 7,000 or 8,000 people. If you want to go on the Instagram, God bless you, whatever. Facebook is where I'll post longer topics, longer thoughts, some links to the live stream, whatever else. And on Twitter, I tend to live tweet during the program. I've got the biggest following on Facebook, but Facebook is the place that is restricting my reach more than anybody else. So I think on Twitter, you probably get it more directly. On Facebook, I've heard from many people that Facebook unfriended or unliked people to my page. They had to go back and like the page again. I'm going to take a break from lighting up Minnesota for electing somebody who is so divisive and hateful, or actually winning, giving the primary win to somebody so divisive and hateful, to do a little PAGS parody fun. Carrie, here's the thing.
Fun.
I told you, I was going to do something on Omarosa. A friend of mine actually today said, you know, maybe one parody a week. I think you're overdoing it.
Wow.
And I was like, shut the face. No. I was like, I have an idea. Shut the face.
I agree with
that friend. That won't play anything.
No, okay. Right. I'm just kidding.
No, I'm not going to play
it. Go ahead. Now, so I want to hear dumb one, right? We're going to hear that one.
You want that one first or you want that one second?
I want that one first.
One of the best responses I've ever received to a parody was when I did Iran. And that was not even more than a phrase. I was like, Iran, and then started laughing in the middle of singing the song, mm-hmm. and I had to stop. So, and then I redid it, and I tried to do it better. People hated the redone one. They liked the stupid one.
Yes, we like the stupid.
So I do. I have two parodies today. One is a stupid one, and one is the one I've been threatening all week.
And
you want the stupid one first?
I do, yeah.
Paul, a stupid one or the other one first?
Well, I guess it could only get better from there, so I would say the stupid one.
Sam?
We'll see. Both. Same time.
I can't play both at the same time. That's dumb. So if you had to choose... She has no choice. All right. So I'm looking at the Twitter. Stop by at Joe Talk Show, at Joe Talk Show. As always, when I play these, you now have a vote. And again, the vote, generally speaking, will be on Twitter. If you do it on Facebook, I'll find out later. I don't generally, you know, go back and forth on Facebook a lot. Although I did just answer somebody who said, I sent you a picture by accident. I'm not interested in your updates. I said, well, I'm not interested in your non-interest.
Told them.
Is that rude when I say stuff like that? I'm not interested in you saying
not
that.
Not really.
So back. You get a vote. At Joe Talk Show, at JoeTalkShow. And again, if you don't follow me on Twitter, if I don't follow you, I won't see your vote. I won't see your notification. I set my notifications as such that people who are hating on me all day, I don't even see their crap unless they follow me. So it's actually a double win for me. I make you follow me, and then I laugh at your stupid comment.
Mm-hmm. That's fun for everybody.
It's a double win for the Pagsy.
The good stuff.
So you're saying play the stupid one?
Yes, that's my vote. Play it. Play it.
I don't know what got into me, to be perfectly honest.
Uh-huh.
Because as I hear it back, I'm not even sure how I did this.
So intrigued. Play it.
I have no idea what
are you doing?
What is going on?
What is wrong with you?
Oh no, that's not even the good part yet.
Oh my goodness.
What the?
Wow.
The hell is that?
I don't know.
Carrie, what the hell was that?
I don't know what that was.
I mean, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how that happened.
My line
in the second part of the song is, I'm not saying any words.
I heard that.
I actually said those words in the song.
That was an interesting one.
So I should have just deleted it.
How long did it take you to do that?
About 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Oh, there's no overdubbing here. This is me being an idiot. And when I played it back for the first time in my studio, I was crying, going, how on earth did I just do that? Let's vote. Carrie, yes or no? You ever want to hear that again? Yes or no?
I'm going to say yes. I will say yes on
Polo,
that.
Yes or no? You ever want to hear that again?
I think so. I'm still not sure what it is.
I don't know what it was either.
I was like,
I have no idea even what it was.
Do we have a bad connection? Is it, what's going on here?
I have no idea what the hell happened. Imagine me sitting by myself with a diet doctor doing that. There's something wrong with you. So I wrote to Carrie and I said, there's something wrong with me.
Yes.
And you were like, oh, motherly. So what's the matter? Are you serious? What's wrong?
I just want to make sure before I laid into you.
I can only imagine your dogs looking at you like, what is this guy doing?
Yes, there's something wrong with this guy. Sam?
I think I should have that as my ringtone. That was amazing.
Sam, what? You know what I mean? That's exactly what my reaction was as I was listening to it back. Now, for some reason, I got through it and didn't. Now, at the very end of that song, you can hear me laughing because it finally dawns on me how stupid it is. Let me see if I can get to the very end. Listen.
I agree with that.
You could almost hear the laugh at the end. We're like, what on earth just happened in the studio?
I don't know what I just heard, but I'm going to vote to play it again. Yeah.
So now, here's the thing. Is it going to be anticlimactic if I play the other song now?
Should we wait?
I don't know.
But this is the second parody that I really didn't want you to do. You are talking about the George Strait one, right?
Maybe I am. Who knows? I haven't played it yet. How do you know what I'm doing?
I don't know. Because you didn't tell me.
888-941-PAGS. 888-941-PAGS. We'll still talk about the ridiculous election last night in Minnesota and elsewhere, by the way. But I'll also take your thoughts. Should I play that? It sounds like I'm burping and farting the entire time.
there was really something medically wrong. Yeah.
You asked me what was wrong with me.
I know. Being very serious. Yes. Now I know.
So maybe I won't play the other one. I don't want to ruin this one with that one.
Yeah. Well, let's see how people feel about this one before you play the other one.
Boy, oh boy says, how do we know when one is the stupid one? Because I just told you. Shut up. Falco is rolling over in his grave. Is Falco dead?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Why is Wesley saying that?
He might have now.
That's true. Cindy, ha 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 ha. Fantastic.
A lot of ha-has.
Mike, who's way too serious. Dude, give it up. Very hard to hear your words. Mike, I'm going to help you out with the words.
Dude, there were no words.
Liar, amorosa, 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 liar, amorosa. Seriously, Mike? You know what I mean? Everybody's a critic. Chris says, is that the mumble rap the kids are talking about these days? Clearly, that's exactly what it was. So far, those are the only votes. And they're starting to flow in now. And, by the way, I'm going to have Brigitte Gabrielle on next week. We're going to talk. She's actually away right now, so I couldn't talk to her today. But she's as unhappy about what happened in Minnesota as I am. I really like the first parody today, says Dave. Sam says the first one, no. Adam says, dear God, throw that in the river and let it pollute our southern neighbors. Oh. I don't even know what that means, but it's mean, and I'm not going to do that to the people.
Oh, that is so
Mark
cool.
says, please do an interview with Al Gore for the next time you do a parody like that, then play the interview. All right, so now he's begging me to do an impersonation of Al Gore on my parody. I could probably do 3 hours of me just talking to myself, which is basically
sure
what I do anyway.
Yes.
I don't need to hear it. I already like it, says Donald. Brad says no, please no on the first parody. D says that was freaking hilarious. OMG. Tommy says no vault for the rap. Sam says play the second one. Steve says OMG, almost fell off the office seat. And Rudy Rude Dog says Falco Amadeus, I actually want to hear it again because I'm still trying to figure out if I like it. That's what I do.
There you
That's
go.
What I do. I give you ear candy, and then you decide.
Interesting.
But I give the people ear candy, and then they decide if they want to hear it again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. People are speaking.
And your vote is yes. You want to hear
it. My vote is yes.
I'm a Rosa. Okay.
I know. Yeah. There is something seriously wrong with you. Yes. So
no,
I do want to hear it again.
But the other one is like nothing now compared to that.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe we should put that one in the vault, huh?
I'll think about it during the break. You might not ever hear the other parody I did. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
I want to be informed.
I need to know what's happening.
To know what's going on.
Check in.
It changes every day.
Every day. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
You're darn right. Carrie, the people are demanding it, actually.
What, the
second one? It almost makes
one?
Me think that, yeah, well, the one that I just played.
Oh, okay.
It almost makes me think I shouldn't have done two.
Maybe a little too much to handle for the people.
Look, well, let me say this. Yes, I did two parodies today. One was very stupid, you just heard it. The other one, I think a little better. And I don't feel bad for doing two because I know you've done nothing for the people. So in this team that we present,
thank you. I
try to make
that.
Sure that I make up for what I know you're, because I know, because you're
I'm
like,
not
I'm
not giving
doing it for the people.
Oh, I see.
Right. Right.
I see.
Although, whenever there's a loving freaking tweet or something, it's always, yeah, but Carrie's about to boo. And then, of course, you jump right in. Yeah, retweet. Look at me. I'm Carrie.
So,
that's pretty much what we do.
Like that.
All right. So, I'll have to play that one again at some point, but it's not going to be right now. Now I have to decide if before the top of the hour, I'm going to play the other one.
You're
going to play the other one or not. I'm
going to
let you decide that.
Oh, man.
I might not this hour.
Is it? Can I know? Is it the George Strait song?
I can't tell you.
Say. You know the people want to hear the second one.
I don't know that they do. The people seem to love the first one. I don't want to sully the first one with the second one. Mm. But again, I put in the time and the work that I know you
that
want.
I didn't. Yes, we understand that. You've made your point.
All right, so you think about your decision while I tell the people about the Super Beats. I got to remind you about nitric oxide, a miracle molecule that your own body makes that fuels your cardiovascular health, keeping you vibrant. But as we all age, our bodies need help generating more natural nitric oxide. Super Beats is to the rescue. It's by Human. It's harnessed the power of nutrient-enriched beets and created a superfood that helps your body make more nitric oxide on its own. The core philosophy over at Human is to develop heart-healthy products for your body. One teaspoon of Super Beats daily supports your cardiovascular health and blood pressure levels, giving you natural energy without the need for quick caffeine kick or sugar high. We're talking about real, healthy, natural energy. This is what you want. Call them right now, 800-516-8389, 800-516-8389, or joelovesbeats.com. Find out how you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats and also get free shipping with your first purchase. Feel the 1 plus 1 equals boom effect of Super Beats. Call 800-516-8389, 800-516-8389, or go to joelovesbeats.com. Get that done right now. All right, did you make a decision?
Play it.
So you're saying play the second one?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yes.
So I've got Renata, I've got Scott, I've got Mike.
That's my vote.
On the line.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do we have left in this hour? Let's see if I have time to even play it now. I think I actually do. Now, I'm waiting to hear people say you never should have played the second one now. Because as much as I think I did a pretty good job with it, the first one is so stupid that it's going to be kind of hard to overcome.
I know.
So, yes, I did do this one. I did. I said I was going to do it. I can't not do it now. I've been singing it forever. Omarosa, You Liar is the name of the song.
I need to apologize.
Here we go.
Straight.
Come on, people. Omarosa, you liar. Lying like a dog. See, I've got the dog in there. Trump gave you everything. Is your head in a fog? Maybe it's in a fog. You never know. On The Apprentice, all you did was lie. But Trump kept you around. I don't know why, by the way. Now deceit has caught up. And you're out of D.C. town. Kicked her ass right out of D.C. town. See what I did there, Karen? You kind of like it. I see the smirk. You kind of like it. Come on. Omarosa, you liar. Media darling. She's the media darling. That's true. Yes, you, they might hire on every word they cling. They do cling to everything she says. But it's too late. You sealed your fate. You turned on the big guy. Omarosa, you liar. With us, your lies won't fly. The first one was so stupid that this one is like commonplace, I guess. I don't know. I'll take it up. Omarosa, so full of, you fill in the rest. See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
He took you to the White House, treated you the best. You sucked at your job, you became a snob, so he got ties. Omarosa, you loser, we're not falling for your lies. The last line is the best. Omarosa, you liar, your BS attracts flies. Come on. That's what we do on the Joe Pags Show. Let me ask you something. When
the
people tuned into Rush today and Hannity, when they tuned into those, did they hear something like that? Did they get that sort of love from the host?
No. They did not.
Now, again, I haven't heard from the king. I'm sure he's a huge fan of the program.
Mm-hmm.
He may, and I could be wrong about this, but he may want to do a duet of one of those.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he absolutely won't want to do a duet with you.
George Strait and me.
Never.
I'm a liar. I'm telling you, it could be that one.
Wow.
Let me quickly go to Renata on line one. Renata, what's going on? Quickly, about a minute.
About a minute. This is Renata, Minnesota. I'm embarrassed, actually, to say that I live here. With all the lovely people that got voted into the primary.
I'm embarrassed for you. I'm stunned by it. Damn.
I don't know what to say other than I'm embarrassed.
All right, so if you had to choose the parody, which one did you like better, the first one or the second one?
No go on the first one.
Wow. Okay.
No.
All right, Renata, we appreciate it. Look, Renata's going to be honest.
Okay.
Most people are fawning over the first one.
I know.
Which again, sounds like me burping for a minute and a half.
Yeah.
But
there's some kind of issue going on there. I thought that listener, she said she was embarrassed. I thought she was going to say she was embarrassed for you after she heard
I was
those
having
two.
A conniption.
Yeah.
I was having a conniption. All right, I've got about 45 seconds. Make it fast, Mike. Come on.
Yeah, Joe. Hey.
Hey.
So they had the election there. How you doing, buddy?
Come on, man.
I like the first one, Joe. Way better.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so, the lady got, you know, she came in and she's currently married to her brother. This was a few years back. This was the big news. And then the next news is she gets in there. But the truth is, Joe, is that the Muslim religion and the Constitution cannot jive together. A true practicing Muslim has to follow their religion. That's why their religion is their government, and their government is their religion.
Mike, I hear you, and I appreciate that. That's why I say, if you want to say no to Sharia law, you could be a Muslim and go and love the Constitution. That's the qualification, though. Keep it here. Coming back.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations all over. JoePags.com for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. Newsmax TV as well. Glad to have you along for the ride. It's the Joe Pags Show. Coming your way on a Wednesday. Oh, come on, bring it. Oh, yeah. That's how we do. It's called Hump to Bump. All right, what's going on, Carrie?
I love the song.
Are you feeling the music?
I am. Yep. Can't wait for next hour.
My head's starting to go.
Oh, please stop. Please stop. Stay in your chair.
Cabbage Patch? Did you want the Running Man?
No. Nobody wants the Running Man.
People love the Running Man. All right, it's the Joe Pags Show. There's a lot going on. Glad to have you along for the ride. You know, here's the quandary I'm in, or the conundrum that I'm in, or we could put it together for shortness of time. We can make it a quandrum.
Mm-hmm.
I did two parodies today. One was just called, what did I call the first one? Just Liar Omarosa?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. The second one was Omarosa, You Liar.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the quandrum for the people. They really like the second one. I sang it well. It's a great tune. It's a familiar tune.
Yeah.
The words were interesting to people. But, Carrie, what is my goal with the parodies?
To make people laugh?
Let's see if you know the show yet, after 11 years.
To make people laugh, have a good time.
The goal of the show
don't want to drive them off the road,
to force people to go on the shoulder, park the car, and cry laughing.
There you go.
We don't want any accidents.
No pee in your pants.
I've got a lot of people say they're almost in an accident tonight because of this song.
Mm.
But that's the goal of a parody. I don't mind when they think I sing a neat song and the words are kind of cool. And I think the second one was that. And had I not played the first one, they might really appreciate the second one. The first one clearly is the hit of the day.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Clearly the hit of the day.
It's my favorite.
One person maybe didn't like it.
Mm.
And that person said, I really don't know what you just did, so I'm not sure. Can you play it again? But everybody else, I'm driving up the road. People are sitting in their cubicles at their computers at work. Wiping tears.
Yes.
And the coworkers are like, what's the matter with you?
See, that's
what I want to invoke out of people. So I'm guessing, and Newsmax will throw this out there, get some Omarosa video ready. At some point, I'm going to play that again. Now, a lot of people are still on the line from Minneapolis and from Minnesota specifically, because there was a victory last night in a primary by Ilhan Omar. I think that's how she says her name. I don't know if I'm mispronouncing it. I don't mean to. She is a Muslim, which, whatever, if you're not a Sharia law person, then you can follow the Constitution. If you believe in Sharia law, you cannot follow the Constitution. They're at odds with each other. That's just the truth. I've studied Islam. I get it. She also is somebody who is an Israel hater. She's a Jew hater, has made that clear that she hates Jews and Israel. That's okay in this day and age. You can win a primary in Minnesota saying that. And she's never given a solid answer to the allegation that she married her brother. And when she divorced this person, she says wasn't her brother. Others say it was. In the divorce paper, she said she hadn't seen the guy since 2011. There are social media pictures showing them together well after 2011. So according to the social media and to the report by PJ Media, she clearly lied on a legal document. But that's okay because she's cute. not a bad looking lady. And that's really all you have to be. Look at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's a cute 28-year-old person who just doesn't know anything about anything and thinks that $32 trillion for healthcare for all makes sense, and that she wants to turn seats red, and that she thinks Israel is occupying something, and she thinks that if you have two jobs, you're somehow lowering the unemployment rate, which doesn't make any sense. But that's really all you have to do in this day and age. Oh, that pocket of Minneapolis, that's Somali and it's Muslim, so she has to win. No, Muslim people don't have to vote for somebody who hates people. They don't have to vote for somebody who allegedly lied on a divorce decree. Just because you're Muslim doesn't mean you have to vote for a Muslim. I'm Italian. I don't only vote for Italians. In fact, when and if Muhammad Ali ever fought an Italian, I rooted for Muhammad Ali. He was my favorite fighter. It's just stupid. So this whole identity politics crap, this whole... I mean, if you look at this woman's Twitter, it actually says, what did she say? Feminist, intersectional feminist or something? She's even using buzzwords that most people don't even understand. Stop. Minnesota, stop. I was contacted by the Republican that won the primary last night in the same district, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is, look it over here because she just emailed me, Jen Zielinski. Probably have Jen Zielinski on at some point.
Oh, okay.
Because she should win. In my opinion, she should win. Now, the chances aren't very good because people are voting on identity politics, but she should win. Somebody who hates Jewish people and Israel should not win a seat in the House of Representatives. Just gonna put it right out there. Oh, Keith Ellison also. The guy with ties to Louis Farrakhan, the first, I don't know if he was the first Muslim ever to be voted into the House. I think he was. But she's taking his position in that Democratic nomination for that seat. He is running for Attorney General, and he won the Democratic nomination. So now we have to vote for the Republican for Attorney General in Minnesota, because I don't think you want somebody who has ties to the bigot Louis Farrakhan to be the guy who's deciding which laws to enforce or not. But that's just me. So I've got people holding on from Minnesota. We'll blow through these. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this. John Brennan, big news today. We have Hogan Gidley at the bottom of the hour. He is a deputy press secretary for the Trump White House. We'll talk to him about what happened with John Brennan today, about the press briefing today, about Omarosa. How can you not? And much more. So, Carrie, should I get out of the way right now? Should I play the stupid thing again right now or not?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Newsmax.
This is, what are we calling, Liar Omarosa? Is that what we're calling this?
Yeah, I'd go with that one.
Now, I want to give people the inside skinny, the inside baseball, if you will. I did the second parody first. I'm not going to play them both. I'm just going to play the one. And then this one was like an afterthought. I was a little giddy. I felt as though I did a nice job on the second one. For those who listened in the first hour, you know it was the George Strait song. And I felt really good about it. I was like, well, I got a second. And I had to go back and look at this music video from 1983. First of all, how bad were our cameras in 1983?
They're probably
it's all
pretty
scratchy
bad,
and
right?
horrible.
I know.
I'm like, what the
grainy.
Heck?
Yeah.
So I went back and I listened to this song and I thought to myself, I can probably sound as stupid as this guy sounds.
Yes.
And Carrie, I think I proved a point.
I think I proved that too. I'm going to agree with you.
I'm pretty sure that I'm just calling this Omarosa the Liar, Liar Omarosa. What am I calling it?
Yeah, Omarosa the Liar.
I do want to warn you that this is extremely stupid.
Yes.
And I'm being as serious as I can be here. I mean, Lion Omarosa. Oh, no. Omarosa. Lion Omarosa. Lion Omarosa. Come on, man. Omarosa beats a lion, Lion Omarosa. What? He said, the lion, but the lion Omarosa. I don't have Lion Omarosa. Don't even know how I did it. Lion Omarosa. Carrie, I don't really know how I did that effect with my voice.
I don't know how you did that.
There is no post effect. It's just me acting like an idiot sitting at the microphone. Lion, Lion Rosa. I'm a Lion Rosa. Wow.
You should record yourself when you're doing this.
I'm saying nothing. I'm saying nothing. No clue what I'm saying here. Liar, I'm a Rosa. He said, but it's a lie. I'm a DC and an underhand. What? Any words here? I'm not saying any words here. I actually said that. Liar, I'm a Rosa. She's a liar, Liar Rosa. Everybody says she's a liar, liar, Rosa. I'm sorry. That's it. That's me in the afternoon.
That's who I work with. Mm.
Carrie, that's me.
I know.
Tell the people again what it is I said to you on message on Facebook.
That there's something seriously wrong with you.
And again, Mama Carrie said, what's the matter? What's going on? I'm like, no, I don't think you understand. Sure. There's a mental issue here that I can't explain.
Yeah.
So I played that in the first hour. The entire internet exploded. And then I played the second one. It was like anticlimactic. So
yeah.
I guess that's the one for
today.
I guess.
One. Yeah, that's my pick.
888-941-PAGS, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. We'll come back. We'll have the story of John Brennan, what happened with his security clearance today. We'll have Hogan Gidley at the bottom of the hour. And as usual, if you hate the parody, which you really should, or if you love it, I want to hear from you. Yeah. Right. At Joe Talk Show, at Joe Talk Show on Twitter. We're coming right back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
All right, glad to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. JoePags.com. All the social media there. A lot of, I'm telling you, the Twitter is exploding that they love the liar Omarosa.
I thought they would.
And I do what I can. And again, that was an afterthought, man. That was like a 7-minute parody.
See? Now, how long did it take you to do the first one that you did?
I don't know. Half hour, 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, neither one was really complicated because there was no harmony in either one.
Oh, I see.
The reason they take hours sometimes is there's harmony. And I got to tell you, that George Strait song, I'm watching the video of it as I'm doing it, and it almost looks like it was him riding in the rodeo. I mean, he's not a rodeo guy, is he? Did he ever ride in the rodeo?
I think he did.
It almost looked like it was him.
I think so. I think it was.
And again, for my money, I nailed it. But that one is like an afterthought now.
Yeah. You got to go with that.
Because of the stupidity of Falco. The liar Omarosa.
Yeah.
And again, if Falco's not dead, Wesley needs to apologize. He said he's rolling over in his grave.
Yes, please. Do we know where Falco is? Let me check. Hopefully he's alive and well.
I've got Leland, I've got Lee, I've got Emily, and I've got Cheryl on the line. And I can see when they're talking. And Lee has been yapping his face off or her face off the entire time. I can't hear them. But I can see it. And whoever, this person's loud. It's like hitting the red every time. Mm. Lee, what a loud mouth on you, for God's sakes. Let me see what Lee's conniption is, because obviously
you must find
getting
out.
A little restless. I'm just going to say. Mm-hmm. Lee, what's going on?
Hey, Joe Dahl, how are you doing today?
Blah, 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 blah.
Man, living the just, dream, man.
Dude, you're just yapping, huh? Holy mackerel. What's going on, Lee?
What I was going to say was, you know, I didn't vote for Elion. I didn't even know she was running because I voted primarily on the Republican ticket. But what I do want to say is that we put in Jeff Johnson, who literally stole the election right out from underneath Pawlenty.
Yeah.
I think, you know, at least on that side, Minnesota should be hailed and propped up for that decision, because I think Jeff Johnson is going to do a fantastic job when he gets voted in November. What do you think?
What do you think the Trump effect was? Pawlenty was an anti-Trump guy saying that he didn't think Trump was fit for the job. And Johnson, of course, got the support of President Trump.
Well, let's take Trump out of the picture and just talk about the policies that Trump has put forth. I don't think Jeff Johnson was promoting Trump as much as he was promoting the idea of Trump policies, getting things done, working around the red tape,
yeah.
Taking out, you know, some of these arrogant state company, you know, policies, getting rid of the Met Council. Oh my God, that would be a godsend.
Well, Lee, I agree with you, but I'm not going to be naive and suggest that Pawlenty going after Trump didn't hurt him. I think it did.
Oh no, I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah,
that yep. Going after Trump was not a good decision for Pawlenty.
Well, I hope that Johnson does well and will be the next governor of the state. You need a Republican governor. You need somebody who's going to be looking out for the people and lowering regulations and stopping this overwhelming control from central government. You had Governor Doofus there for who knows how long. Is that what I was calling him, Governor Doofus?
I believe so.
I forget.
I think it was.
I think it was Governor Doofus. Either way, he's got to go. And I guess he's the one that said, yeah, we'll take every refugee you have. Everyone you have, we'd like to have them all here in one section of my state. Let me go back out and say hi to Emily. Hi, Emily. What's going on?
Hi, Joe. First time caller, long time listener.
Appreciate you.
I appreciate you too, and corndog. you know, as a millennial veteran and having my father pass away in Iraq fighting radical Islamists, I personally find it insulting. I really do. That, you know, some Minnesotans can be so stupid to vote this person that's, you know, anti-gay, anti-Jew, you know, just so hate-filled. It's, I don't understand it.
Well, how does it happen? Is it only the Somali population that did it then? Or is there really a group of radical leftists also that vote in this district that said, yeah, she's the one for us?
Oh, I think it's leftists as well, because, you know, they've been peppered with, you know, the Pelosi's and now the lady in New York.
Yeah.
With all the socialist nonsense saying, you know, I just don't understand how people like that can represent a district. I mean, yeah, it is majority, you know, blue.
Yeah.
But, you know, as long as you get the message out saying, you know, knock on doors, you know, make your own decision. Do your own research. If, you, if these people actually go online and read about this lady, they wouldn't vote for her. I can guarantee it.
Emily, I hear you, and I appreciate your service. Thank you so much. I Carrie, it might be me. When somebody calls you corn dog, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with the cute nickname.
On that one. Corn dog, that's not cute.
No, that's the anti-Rick Roll. Not only is it cute, it's your nickname.
It's not.
That's
it,
what it is.
It is not cute.
My nickname is Pagsy or Wonderful Guy. And, I'm okay with that.
Who calls you Wonderful Guy? That. I'm just saying.
Radio God. If I have to bear it, I'll bear it.
You're making
you get corn
up
dog,
for you.
I get Radio God.
I don't like corn dog. No.
Damn, look at that guy. Yeah, I mean, look, if that's what they want to call me, who am I to argue? Okay. You know what I'm saying? Corn dog?
Yeah.
All right, let me go back at it. It's 888-941-PAGS. Actually, before we hit the bottom of the hour, give me the story in John Brennan, please, because I thought this was historic and smart and the right thing to do by the president.
Yes, this is from Fox News. President Trump has revoked the security clearance for former CIA Director John Brennan, the White House announced Wednesday, in the first decision to come from a review of access for several top Obama-era intelligence and law enforcement officials. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders read a statement on behalf of the president during the start of the press briefing, saying Brennan, quote, has a history that calls his credibility into question. And the statement also claimed Brennan has been leveraging the clearance to make wild outbursts and claims against the Trump administration in the media. And the president has a constitutional responsibility to protect classified information and who has access to it. And that's what he's doing, is fulfilling that responsibility in this action, Sanders said Wednesday. In response, Brennan tweeted hours later, this action's part of a broader effort by Mr. Trump to suppress freedom of speech and punish critics. It should gravely worry all Americans, including intelligence professionals, about the cost of speaking out. My principles are worth far more than clearances. I will not relent. Last month, the White House said they were looking into the clearances for other former officials and Trump critics, including former FBI Director James Comey, former Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe, former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, former National Security Advisor Susan Rice, and former CIA Director Michael Hayden.
We have time? Because I wanted to respond to Brennan. Mm-hmm. He's probably watching, right? John Brennan, I think, watches this show.
Oh, no doubt.
And listens to the program on great radio stations everywhere. I'm pretty sure he's listening. And we're actually thinking of changing it from the Joe Pag Show to the Wonderful Guy Show. We're considering that.
But how would they
I feel a little bit hesitant because, you know, this is what people want to call me. I can't say, hey, you stop calling me that. You know, because
it's you calling yourself that.
Not really.
So how about the Wonderful Guy?
Just checked.
And,
I just
know,
did.
The cute.
And Corn Dog. It's going to be Wonderful Guy and Corn Dog.
No.
It's going to be Wonderful Guy and Corn Dog. So John Brennan watching and listening right now, I just had something for you. Let me see if I can find. Oh, yeah, here it is. I actually wrote it down because I don't want to mess anything up. Mm-hmm. You doofus. All right, there you go. I got that off my chest, John Brennan. This is a First Amendment freedom of speech. No, it's not. I have First Amendment rights. I don't have a security clearance. What are you talking about? How is having a security clearance revoked that you don't need it or nor use anymore in your job? How is that a restriction of the First Amendment? Nobody's stopping him from speaking out. He's going to continue to go on. Is he MSNBC or CNN? It's one of the two, right?
MSNBC, I think.
So he'll continue to go on there, act the fool, say stupid stuff, cover his own ass for how bad a CIA director he was. And he thinks that his First Amendment right is taken away. He's probably been on that network 30 times today complaining, using his First Amendment right. Does anybody believe this clown? I hope not. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. We come back, it'll be Hogan Gidley. He is the Deputy Press Secretary for President Trump's White House behind Sarah Sanders. We talk about this, Omarosa, the economy, and much more. Don't touch that dial. Stay right here.
This is the Joe PAGS Show.
Barry Show.
Great radio stations across the land, JoePags.com, all the social media there, of course, Newsmax TV as well, the Joe Pags Show. Thanks a lot for stopping by, and thanks so much to the Deputy Press Secretary for the Trump administration. It is, of course, Hogan Gidley. Hogan, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for the time. It's good to be with you again.
You know, I don't know if you guys mean to do this, but every single day, you guys set the trend, whether it's Sarah yesterday or something else the day before Acosta going nuts. Today, of course, it's John Brennan. We got to go right there. The former CIA director is going to lose, or has already lost, his high-level top secret clearance. What took so long, I think, is what my listeners and viewers want to know.
Well, look, the president was looking into this early on, several weeks ago, and made that clear to the American people. Sarah mentioned it from the briefing room. I've mentioned it on air as well. And, you know, it was time to make a move, and the president did so today.
Well, here's the thing. This guy is getting paid as a contributor. God bless him. I don't take that away. He can get any job he wants. But he's getting paid to divulge information that he has clearance to go and get and somehow use it against the administration. Why exactly would we allow him to have that kind of access? So this seems to make perfect sense, but is it unprecedented?
This is one of the, yes, it is, but this is one of those examples exactly where Donald Trump is doing again what he said he would do. He's reviewing things that have been business as usual in this town for quite some time. And let's be clear about Mr. Brennan for a moment. He has a history that calls in to question, quite frankly, objectivity and credibility.
Yeah.
In 2014, he denied to Congress. So he was testifying before Congress. He denied to Congress that CIA officials under his supervision now had improperly accessed computer files of congressional staffers.
Right.
He told the Council of Foreign Relations that the CIA would never do such a thing, which is not true. The CIA's Inspector General comes out and says, I'm going to contradict Mr. Brennan directly. Unequivocally, that agency had officials that improperly accessed congressional staffers' files. So right off the bat, when you're not telling the truth before Congress, that's a serious issue. But as you just said, a lot of these folks will take those clearances, go into these briefings, get sensitive information, and then go out and drop little hints on television or in the news and say, hey, listen, if you knew what I knew, you know, and with no substantiation, with no follow-up questions, just dropping that type of information. And more recently, Mr. Brennan told Congress the intelligence community didn't make use of the Steele dossier in an assessment in the 2016 election.
Right.
That is completely contradicted by two other senior officials in the intelligence community. So this was a move by the president, I think, that was strong, decisive, and something that needed to be done.
Hogan, do you know why these people get to keep clearance anyway? I don't care whose White House it is. If you're not the boss anymore, you're not the director, you're not in the FBI ranks or the CIA ranks or NSA, why would you walk away with the clearance? Why doesn't that go away the day you leave?
It's my understanding some of these people are then used as contractors for other agencies later in their career and that type of thing. But the president said he's going to do this on a case-by-case basis and begin to review some of this material, but it does seem quite swampish.
Use
the word from the campaign. You're here, you get clearance, and then you're able to charge to the highest bidder, you know, whatever you want, because you have those clearances and you can just continue to have that access for quite some time. So the president looked at it, thought it was inappropriate in this instance, and he's revoked it.
Is Comey next? Do we know?
I'm not sure, but he was on the list.
I had to ask.
People that were looking at, well, absolutely, we're looking at several people. I think it was Comey, Hayden, Sally Yates, Susan Rice, James Clapper. And look, one of the questions we received in the briefing today was about, well, aren't these you know, all just political opponents? Well, that's two things. One is, I thought they weren't political.
Yeah, right.
Right. I thought they were supposed to be career officials within these agencies that were blind to politics, number one.
So
you're making our point. And number two, remember, the media has taken great pains to point out the fact, or try and point out the fact, James Comey's a Republican. So he's a registered Republican.
Right.
So
he's not,
you know,
a political opponent,
not about it's not about political opponents. It's about misusing and abusing your privileges to have classified information.
I think it was a very smart move. Hogan Gidley, the deputy press secretary for the Trump White House. I've got to ask you about the press, because I've been to the White House, as you know, and I walked by that room. First of all, it's way smaller than anybody would think. It's a very small place. And Sarah or you or whomever's up there, Raj, you guys are being, you know, they're yelling dumb questions at you. And you and I talked before we started this interview. You're cool with them asking whatever they want, but aren't they wasting their time? Like yesterday, Omarosa actually dictated almost every question that some members of the press were asking Sarah Sanders. Does that make any sense to you? I mean, that isn't what this is supposed to be, is it?
Well, the real irony of that is the press corps gave Omarosa no credence, no credibility when she was in the White House.
None.
They didn't ask for her to go on television. They didn't trust her. They thought she had no access. They thought that her portfolio was small. Thus, she couldn't lend anything to the newscasts that they put on every night.
Right.
So she wasn't used by the media. So she continues to go on and tell people how great the president is, how much he's doing for the African-American community, more so than Barack Obama, which is all true stuff.
Right.
She gets fired, goes on television and says, he's my mentor. The president of the United States is doing a great job. I love the president of the United States. And apparently telling the truth wasn't paying the bills. So she decided to change her tune, and now she's the toast of the town. So they'll take the time to give her credence and credibility now that she's turned on the president, as opposed to when she, you know, a 15-year relationship, and she actually knew him and was inside the building getting information.
Right.
They didn't trust her and didn't want to talk to her. Now, all of a sudden, she's on every newscast. But I will say, and you pointed this out at the beginning, the press corps has the right to ask whatever they want to ask. If they want us to sit there and say, Sarah, what's your favorite color? What's the president's favorite color? Hogan, what do you like, rainy days or right. sunny days? They can do that all day long. Does it do a service to the people?
No.
That's really up to the people to decide, and you can change the channel or not watch their channel or tweet about it or say whatever you want to say. But they can ask whatever they want to ask, and too often, when given the choice between policy and palace intrigue, the press corps chooses palace intrigue 9 times out of 10.
It's nuts. It's Hogan Gidley, Deputy Press Secretary. One last quick thing on Omarosa, because I'm tired of giving her my airtime. but I watched The Apprentice. She lied. She deceived. That's how we know her. Her notoriety, her infamy, is that she was a big, fat lying liar that threw everybody under the bus. She's now telling the press, and this is what they're really latching onto, that she was unable to leave, was basically locked in the Situation Room for 3 or 4 hours with John Kelly and somebody else. Is any of that true? Was she a captive to General Kelly?
No, it's not true. Look, this book is already filled with lies and contradictions and distortions, and that's been proven right out of the gate.
Yeah.
But let's just take this top level for a moment. Just to have the thought that it would be... Well, she knew it wasn't okay, but the thought to sneak a recording device around the White House
right.
into the Situation Room to try and record a coworker, a boss, any information is dangerous and shows a complete disregard for national security.
Agreed.
Then she records a private conversation with the president. After all of that, she goes on television and brags about doing so. Now, think about the kind of person that is for a moment. That should tell you all you need to know about the motives and the character and the integrity. She bragged about it on television and then had the audacity to tell one of the hosts, I was not fired for cause. There was no reason to fire me. Oh, and by the way, listen to these tapes I recorded of the President of the United States and the Chief of Staff.
as to why
you should have been let go in the first place.
Yeah, it's Hogan Gidley, Deputy Press Secretary. I want to talk about the midterms that are coming up. They're not that far away. And the Democrats, Hogan, are running on a few things. If you get me in, I'm going to impeach the president. If you get me in, I'm going to roll back your tax break. And if you get me in, we're going to get rid of ICE. Help me understand how that's a winning strategy.
I don't understand it at all.
I don't want to help the other side. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, I'm sickened by it.
Well, it's also one of those things where let's raise taxes. That's another. We're not going to do the tax 2.0. We're not going to give people more of their own money.
How does that make sense?
I don't understand the logic or the mentality there. And quite frankly, the people who are calling, these Democrats who are calling for the abolition of ICE, either have no idea what ICE actually does, or they've made the conclusion that they've decided, you know, consciously to ignore the safety and security of the American people. ICE agents are the first ones on the line of defense, protecting Americans from, bloodthirsty gangs like MS-13.
Right.
But they also are on the front lines against child smuggling, drug smuggling, human trafficking, and they also protect commercial air travel. President Trump is standing up for and protecting and propping up the brave men and women of ICE, but Democrats are working to abolish ICE for political purposes. And let's be clear, ICE is doing exactly what it was created to do,
right,
which is keep communities safe. And so Democrats are going to have to answer why they would rather stand up, not for their own citizens, not for their own constituency, but for people like MS-13, whose motto is kill, rape, and control. I have no idea why they're doing it.
It's disgusting. It's Hogan Gidley. He's the Deputy Press Secretary. Hogan, before I let you go, I can't speak with you and not bring up the greatest thing that's happened in the past 15 years, 20 years, our economy. Our economic numbers for every community are some of the best we've ever seen. African-American community, Latino community, the lowest unemployment we've seen ever on record. We're seeing businesses come back, manufacturing come back. The threat and leverage of tariffs are actually getting rid of taxes and tariffs on our goods. Are you guys doing enough to sell to the American people how really good things are going right now economically?
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that. I'm not going to get too deep into this, but I can say that Democrats are so notorious for telling you how good things are going to be,
yeah,
and then it never happens.
Right.
Republicans are bad about actually getting things accomplished and then moving on and figuring out that, or thinking, I should say, wrongly, that the American people get it.
Right.
We have to keep explaining to the American people exactly why they're better off today than they were just a year and a half ago. We heard manufacturing jobs wouldn't come back, 400,000 created under this president.
Yep.
We were told that 1.9% GDP was the new normal under Barack Obama. We're at 4.1%, hovering around 3% as an average for the first time in a long time. This president's created about 3.5 million jobs since he took office. And you'll remember, before he took office, once the election happened, every single person predicted the apocalypse for our economy, it would not be able to recover. And here we are soaring to new heights that have never been seen before. It's all because of the deregulation. It's all because he understands, as this president has pointed out, you deserve to keep more of your own money. Democrats say, nope, we want it all back. And it just makes no sense to me. But we're doing incredible things with this economy, and it's because of this president's policy.
Can't thank you enough for coming on. It's Hogan Gidley, Deputy Press Secretary for the White House under President Donald Trump. Hogan, let's talk again soon.
Anytime. Thanks so much, Joe.
All right, brother. Back after this in the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
721 for details.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Glad to have you. Yeah, always great to talk to somebody in the administration. I think what the administration did today with John Brennan was a long time coming. Comey's got to go next. Susan Rice shouldn't have a top level clearance at all. I mean, when you talk about draining the swamp, this is what it looks like, but it takes a long time. You know, a year and a half in, almost 2 years in. Now you're starting to see somebody like Brennan, who goes on television on a daily basis, rips this president, rips this administration, is somebody who's a known liar, and just got a pass. And I think this was the right move. And anybody on the left who suggests this is somehow anti-First Amendment, nobody's stopping him from speaking. He just doesn't have a top-level clearance job anymore. Why should he still have that clearance? I don't think he should. So I'm glad that the president did this. It was a smart move. And let me, before we grab some phone lines, and it's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, let me remind you about Super Beats. An atom of nitrogen, an atom of oxygen makes nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is a molecule that our bodies produce naturally, but as we get older, we produce less of it. And this is a vital nutrient that actually keeps your circulation moving nicely. And as you get older, your circulation slows down. You get tired quicker. You have less stamina. Harder to get through your day, be honest with you. Well, you need a boost. Super Beats helps you out with that because Super Beats by Human has harnessed the power of nutrient-enriched beets and created a superfood that helps your body make more nitric oxide on its own. The core philosophy of Human is to develop heart-healthy products for your body. One teaspoon of Super Beats is the daily recommended amount, and that's all I take every day. It helps you out, get through your day. Going to help you regulate your blood pressure levels, too. 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeets.com. Find out how you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats and free shipping, too, with your first purchase. It is 800-516-8389 or go to joelovesbeats.com right now. All right, glad to have you along for the ride. And again, getting rid of the security clearance should have been much easier than it ended up being. I'm not surprised that he did it. He said he was going to do it. What I'm surprised at, when you start hearing the names that still have it, James Comey, who wrote a book and leaked memos, leaked classified information, conversations with the president via a friend who's a professor to the New York Times, and that's why we even have a Mueller investigation. That guy has a top-level clearance. Let that sink in. Susan Rice, who after Benghazi went on no less than 5 television talk shows to lie about what caused it. It was a videotape. It was a YouTube video that somehow the warlords in the middle of ISIS somewhere in Libya saw and started a spontaneous uprising to go and kill 4 Americans. It was a blatant lie. Why? When was Benghazi, Kerry? Was it 12?
I believe 2012.
I mean, 6 years later, we're still dealing with this? She has access to classified information? Why? I just don't understand. And I like to understand. I think understanding is a very good thing. Kerry, I like to understand things.
Me too.
Did you know Susan Rice before all this thing started? You know she still had a security clearance?
I did not.
I mean, I have no answer for that. Yeah. I have no answer as to why she would still have it. These are deep state actors planted by the far left, by Obama, and for some reason still have clearance? Shut your face. So think about that. 888-941-PAGS. Let me go to Jim and see what your thoughts are. Jim, what's up?
What's up? I was a, I'm over 70 years old.
Okay.
So, I'm, but I was a, let's just say an operative for three of the agencies, DIA, CIA, NSA, and a few others.
Sure.
And every time I changed agencies, all my clearances were dropped. And then when I went to some other place, I had to get recertified and do that. Now, what this shows, if Brennan is still holding on to his all his credentials.
Well, he was. He's not anymore. The president just stripped him.
I know that, but that should have, as soon as he left the agency and started talking on CNN, all his, or even before that, as soon as he left the agency, all of his clearances should have been wiped out.
Well, for some reason, Jim, and maybe you could help me understand why, in this day and age, they keep it for 7 years. I don't know why. Everybody seems to.
No, that's not true.
No, it is. It is true. That's why they still all have it.
Yeah, well, no, what has happened is this shows that there's a division, not only with laws, that, like, there's laws for some people and laws for other people. You know, and the same thing with the clearances. That means that some people get clearances and some people don't, or, you know, get to keep their clearances. And, you know, this is not only a security breach, but there's all sorts of things going on there.
And it's your experience that, without a doubt, when you left one job, you lost your clearance and then you had to go back and get it again.
Yeah, it had to be recertified. Now, if he goes to CNN, they can't certify him because there's no SSO on staff. You know?
No, absolutely right. But he still had it. Jim, I appreciate it out of New Hampshire. Got to run here for this hour. Very interesting phone call. Your thoughts when we come back. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Got to go on TV. We continue on radio.
This is the Joe Pags.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
You're darn right. Great radio stations all over. JoePags.com, all the social media there. Also, the live stream is at JoePags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. The Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Wednesday.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
Do a parody on this song, huh?
Don't you dare. Stop. I want to listen to the song. Stop ruining it.
Fine. What?
No.
How's that new?
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. I don't know why I added that to the rotation. Polo, was that just because I drunk that day when I agreed to that?
Possibly.
I'll take it.
Maybe you're on whatever it was you were drinking yesterday when you made that parody.
What are you talking about? I made the parody today.
Well, then whatever it is you're on today.
Yeah, I'm on cough syrup.
Yeah.
Straight cough syrup.
By the way, that's why you did.
I'm not going to admit it. I mean, maybe true, but I'm not going to tell anybody.
Okay.
You know, Carrie, I've got to play the other one because now people are like, "That's the best parody you've ever done."
Mm.
I think the people are conflicted today.
I think so? They are. Okay.
I don't think I'm going to play that one again.
Mm-hmm. You did the George Strait one. Okay.
Well, the other one I've only played once, mm-hmm. and the people really seem to like it.
Okay. All right.
But before I do any of that, we were talking about clearances being stripped and revoked, and John Brennan no longer has his clearance. Why he had it, I don't know. I think Dan in Kansas City heard the wrong name. Let me grab Dan. Dan, what's on your mind? Hi.
How you doing, Mr. Joe? Yeah, I used to listen to you all the time when I was driving truck at late night, and I'm glad you're on the earlier station.
Yeah, love being on there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, we're here. My question was, I heard the name Rice being lifted, and I was just curious. It has Condoleezza Rice's from the George Bush administration been lifted for the same reason that you stated? You know, it's been a while. Yeah, why do they have we're it? Talking and about. I don't know.
Yeah, Susan Rice still has it from the Obama administration. Right. No, I would think the condo. I don't have proof of this. I'm going to bet my bottom dollar Condoleezza Rice does not have a security clearance anymore.
That's interesting. Yeah, that was the gist of my question because I was just wondering. I had no idea, and I was just curious.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say she does not have it, but Dan, I appreciate the question. I think it's 7 years. Isn't that what we heard about a month ago?
I'm looking into that.
For some reason, they have it for 7 years, I think. Before I'm going to take one more on security clearance, then I want to move into some other stuff. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who's just a doofus. This guy has now said America was never really that great. This is a country where his ancestors came. His father became the governor of New York. His father ran for president, as I remember. His brother is a celebrity on CNN, making millions. He is the governor of New York, and he doesn't think the country was ever that great. I just want you to understand that. So we'll have that story coming up. We'll also play the second PAGS parody, Omarosa, You Liar. We'll have that for you coming up as well. Jeff, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Living a dream, man.
I have to clear this up for you a little bit.
Okay, clear it up for me.
Okay, so the seven-year thing you're talking about is like when somebody's clearance has been deactivated and it stays inactive for like 7 years. So when somebody leaves their job, like that other fellow was saying, that his was dropped. It's not dropped. It's declared inactive. To get a clearance is a lengthy process. It takes like maybe up to a year.
Okay.
So it doesn't make any sense for somebody to lose their clearance when they go from one job to another that it gets dropped, and then you have to go through the long process again.
Well, I'm going
to
take his word. The guy's 70. He was a part of a bunch of different agencies. He said it happened. Whatever.
I think he's just saying the wrong word.
But Brennan is a different guy, though. Brennan didn't go from job to job. He just is out of a job. He shouldn't have it anymore. Why does he have it?
Because you have it, but it's inactive, so you can't use it until you go into a different job, and then it stays. If it stays inactive for 7 years, that's when it drops, and then you have to go through the lengthy process.
All right, let me ask you this. If Trump, for some reason, decided he wanted John Brennan to be the director of the FBI, would Brennan have to go back through the process, or they could just reactivate it?
So if he revoked it, which he's doing now.
No, I didn't ask you that. No. Before the revocation, if he, because you're saying it was just deactivated, it wasn't dropped, and he wouldn't have to reapply going to a new job. Could they just reactivate it if they didn't revoke it?
That's exactly right. I possess one right now, but it's inactive. And if I went to another job, they would just activate it with, some small little checks and stuff rather than the long, lengthy process that could take up to a year.
Well, I just got a call from the administration, Jeff, and they're actually just going to take it away. They don't want you to have it even inactive. I don't know.
Yeah. So if it's been more than 7 years, then yeah, Rice might not have it if she's had no reason to have it activated. In
I don't think it's been more than 7 years. No. Yeah. She still has it. She still has it. Comey still has it. Brennan before today still had it. I appreciate you, Jeff. I guess that's a little clearer. He's saying you don't really have it. It's deactivated. Just if it's reactivated, like if the president says, I need you back, Brennan, then they can just reactivate it and go through some small checks and balances, not have to go through the entire process that takes a year. I guess that's what he's saying, right? Carrie, did you find anything out?
I really didn't. I couldn't find anything.
Did you try? Let's be honest.
I did too try. Yes, I did. I'll keep trying.
So what do you consider trying?
It is my Thursday, so, you know.
What is that? Where did that come from?
Why
do people have to know that?
Okay, sorry.
All right, so listen, I just want a little foreshadowing. That means on Friday, highest ratings ever.
No. Lowest ratings, I'm sure.
People deserve this. Right. The people deserve this, and then when we come back, it'll be Cuomo, but a little something I like to call Omarosa, You Liar. Oh, yeah. Bring it, son. Imagine me riding a bucking bronco right now.
You falling off.
Why is that funny?
Sure.
Why is that funny? Wow. Omarosa, You Liar. You're welcome, people. Lying like a dog. Trump gave you everything. Is your head in a fog? Probably is in a fog. Yeah. On The Apprentice, all you did was lie. But Trump kept you around. Bring it. Now deceit has caught up, and you're out of D.C. town. Okay, they call me the wordsmith. They call me.
Who calls you that?
A lot of people.
You?
Tons of people.
Your mom.
Omarosa, you liar. Leave my mom out of this. Hmm. Media darling. Yes, you they might hire. On every word they cling. Come on now. But it's too late. You sealed your fate. You turned on the big guy. Omarosa, you liar. With us, your lies won't fly. You're humming along, aren't you? You are, aren't you,
no,
Carrie? You can see it.
I was not.
Little seat dance. I see a little chair dancing.
No. Perfectly still.
Omarosa's so full of. You fill in the rest. That's a good line. It really is. He took you to the White House. Treated you the best. You sucked at your job. You became a snob. So he got ties. Omarosa, you loser. We're not falling for your lies. Bring it home now. Omarosa, you liar. Your BS attracts flies. You're welcome, people. It's what I do. 888-941-PAGS. What Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, is saying now, because he's just the doofus, when we come back on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Oh. Your kids may ignore you, but your smart speaker never will.
Alexa, play 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
All right, great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. 888-941-PAGS. 888-941-PAGS. That is Carrie Lockie. Carrie, I want to get the Cuomo story out there. I don't think there's much to say about it, but I think it's important for people who are watching and listening to understand this is who Andrew Cuomo is. He's the same guy that said, you don't need more than two bullets to shoot a deer. And he said that as he sounded like Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. And as he was surrounded by good guys with guns protecting him. He deserves it more important than you. You don't deserve it to kill a deer. So I have to have the Andrew Cuomo story. Then we have to bring to the forefront that Colorado is once again going after the same baker that was just vindicated
for not
wanting to bake the gay cake. Now he's supposed to bake a trans cake. And I guess Colorado's going after him again. So just give me Cuomo first, if you don't mind.
Okay. From Fox News, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo may have just handed Republicans a ready-made campaign ad for his rumored 2020 presidential bid by declaring Wednesday that America was, quote, never that great. The Democratic star made the seemingly offhand remark as part of his rebuke of President Trump's Make America Great Again slogan during a bill signing in New York. But the line drew gasps from the crowd. We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great, Cuomo said to an awkward blend of gasps and chuckles. We have not reached greatness. We will reach greatness when every American's fully engaged. We will reach greatness when discrimination and stereotyping against women, 51% of our population, is gone, and every woman's full potential is realized and unleashed, and every woman's making her full contribution, he said. Within hours, a spokeswoman tried walking it back. Quote, the governor believes America is great and that her full greatness will be fully realized when every man, woman, and child has full equality. America has not yet reached its maximum potential. Cuomo's Press Secretary Danny Lever said in a statement, when the president speaks out about making America great again, going back in time, he ignores the pain so many endured and that we suffer from slavery, discrimination, segregation, sexism, and marginalized women's contributions. The governor believes that when everyone is fully included and everyone is contributing to their maximum potential, that is when America will achieve maximum greatness. But the never that great line tore through social media in a New York minute as journalist and his political rival seized on the remark. Republican gubernatorial candidate Mark Molinaro said America, with its imperfections, has always been great and called on Cuomo to apologize.
Now, Andrew Cuomo is a Democrat, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about a bunch of Democrat policies, slavery, segregation, no rights for women or minorities. Those are all Democrat policies. And he thinks that he has a chance of winning election. I would love to see him run in 2020. And of course, President Trump has already dared him. He's like, let's go. When you're so dumb as to not know that you shouldn't say America was never great, I mean, the hell are you doing, New York? Why do you keep on electing this guy? That's nuts. But you're going to start to see, after the midterm especially, you're going to start to see a concerted effort by some Democrat somewhere. You kind of wonder, what do you think about this, Carrie, as the news person? Do you think you're going to see on the Democrat side sort of what we saw on the Republican side where you had 17 people?
Maybe.
It almost looks like it's going to be, you know, dozens of people on the left running that. Because, well, who is the heir apparent? It's not going to be Hillary again.
Not really going to be Joe Biden. So I've heard Elizabeth Warren. I mean, I've heard her name. Now Cuomo.
I'm hearing Kirsten Gillibrand from New York. I don't understand it. I mean, I want them to keep doing this because they're going to end up eating their own if they don't congeal behind one candidate. But who's the one candidate going to be? They did that last time. And it was a horrendous failure. It was ridiculous how horrible that was for the Democrats. I was happy about it, but I just wonder what they're planning on doing. To me, it's confusing at best. Now, I'm going to really get you to work today and see if you can't step it up and give me the story out of Colorado now.
Yes.
And this is the same baker, right?
That is correct, yes. This is from the Washington Times. The Christian baker who refused to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex couple and was vindicated by the Supreme Court earlier this year is mounting another legal challenge this week after refusing to bake a gender transitioning cake. Shortly after the Supreme Court agreed to hear baker Jack Phillips' case, an attorney requested he create a cake that was pink on the inside and blue on the outside, represent a gender transition from male to female. As a Christian, Mr. Phillips would not make the cake since it conflicted with his beliefs, which was the same reasoning for refusing to bake the same-sex couple's wedding cake. And the state of Colorado has come after Mr. Phillips again, suggesting state law requires him to bake the gender change cake. The state of Colorado is ignoring the message of the U.S. Supreme Court by continuing to... And here's an ad from Capital One.
Read the ad. What's the matter
with
you?
From Capital One. Okay.
Yeah, look at that.
The state of Colorado is ignoring the message of the U.S. Supreme Court by continuing to single out Jack for punishment and to exhibit hostility toward his religious beliefs, said Kristen Wagner, an attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom, a religious liberty law firm defending Mr. Phillips. The legal complaint claims the state has an anti-religious animus against Mr. Phillips. For over 6 years now, Colorado has been on a crusade to crush plaintiff Jack Phillips because its officials despise what he believes and how he practices his faith, the lawsuit reads.
Well, a little confused by this one. If I walked into a bakery and said, hey, can you make me a cake pink on the inside, blue on the outside? I would think they'd say yes. How do they know that it's a gender transitioning cake? I guess that's the first question. Second question is, did a person walk in and say, hi, we need a cake for somebody who's transitioning from, you know, male to female. We want you to make the cake. It's going to be pink on the inside, blue on the outside. If they did that, they're just trying to entrap him now, right? They're just trying to bait him.
That's what it seems like. This was an attorney who also filed
a
complaint against the baker. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there are 61 other bakeries around town near where he is. 61. And for some reason, they couldn't go to any of those. Instead of, because again, I mean, I'm Christian. I don't know what Christianity says about transgender people or gender dysphoria. I don't know. I'm guessing nothing because it certainly wasn't even a consideration in the times of the Bible being written. You know, you're not supposed to lie, I guess. Maybe that's what he's talking about, bearing false witness. And if you're a man, if you're a male, scientifically and biologically, and saying that you're a female, that is bearing false witness. I guess I get that. But I'm guessing that he bakes cakes for liars all the time. Why don't we just do this? He can, except for what is covered by the Civil Rights Act of 1964 that was necessary to stop the ridiculousness of the Democrats stopping black people from partaking in public accommodation, why don't we just let them decide who he does and doesn't want to bake a cake for? And if you're gender transitioning or you're gay or whatever and you want a cake, maybe go somewhere where they're baking cakes for you and are happy to take your money. Many would say capitalism dictates, that free enterprise dictates, that this guy doesn't want your money, take it down a road. Give it to somebody else. And again, I'm not judging whether he should or shouldn't bake the cake. I think it's different than a cake for a gay wedding. But again, as the business owner, if he wants to turn away money, why can't he? I think that what this is actually leading to is they want to amend the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to include GLBTXYZ123. I think that's what they want to do. Because then they would have law that says you must bake my cake. The law says you must or else you're in big trouble. Your thoughts on this? 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. I want to hear from you. If you'd rather just email or send me a message on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, stop by joepags.com. Click on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can contact me there. On Facebook, click on send message and you'll be signed up for the Facebook messages. We're approaching 2,000 people on that now. We've got almost 4,000 on the email that I haven't been sending out that often. But again, make sure that when you stop by Facebook, you send me a message. You'll be automatically signed up to get these messages every day. Should this guy have to bake the cake? Aren't we now at the place where he should be able to decide what cake he does and doesn't want to bake? Coming right back.
This is the Joe Pags Show. Great show.
Radio stations all over. JoePags.com. Live stream is over there as well. It's the Joe Pags Show coming your way for your Wednesday. That's Carrie Lockie. How's it going, Carrie?
Yeah, just fine. Just fine.
Pete over on the social media, on the Twitters, just tweeted, how could so many entertainers refuse to perform at President Trump's inauguration? It's a damn good question. You're an entertainer. You're offering a service. I'm offering you the going rate for your service. How dare you say no? Should be forced to do it, shouldn't they?
No.
It's like making a guy bake a cake, isn't it? Or like somebody telling me, hey, talk boy, that plus wonderful guy, you're going to have to talk at my daughter's birthday this Saturday. He's going to do a talk show over at the house.
No, they want that. No, I'm not doing that.
Yes, you are, and we're also going to be running a fundraiser for Andrew Cuomo. You got to be there to talk. No, I'm not going to be there. Goes against what I believe. I'm an American. I'm free. I'm liberated. Why would I have to do that? Very good point, Pat Lawler, over there on the Twitters. Now, I can say the first and last name on the Twitters because it's right there in public, right? Boom, there it is.
I guess you can. You did.
Very good point there, Pat. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to line one. It's Charlie in Illinois. Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, Paisano, what's up?
Hey, Paisano, Gumba, what are you? See what I did there?
I haven't talked to you in a long time. I dropped $120 on your El Luisville about two years ago.
All right.
Last year. Times were tough, but I'm going to do it again this Christmas.
You better step it up this year. What the hell? You can't take a year off.
Well, times got a little bit tough.
All right, okay. Hey, I'll give you a pass. What's going on?
Hey, the Colorado baker, you know, God instilled us with a sense of humor.
Yes.
If you really wanted to come out there and display a sense of humor, I would have made that cake and I would have decorated it with a little trick or treat size mounds and almond joys.
Charlie, I think you broke up a little bit. Can you say the joke again? I must have missed it.
I said I would decorate it with little almond joys
right.
And little mounds.
Sure.
And I would say sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
God! You know what I mean, Carrie?
That laugh, though.
You know I was making him say it again because I wanted to see if he was going to laugh like that again.
I know.
He really, really cracked himself up. Now, listen, we love Charlie. Elf Louise is a San Antonio-based wonderful, you know, let's buy some gifts for kids who otherwise wouldn't have a gift charity event put on by Louise Locker every year. We love her. We love it. We love that he helped out. But, Charlie, that joke just sucked, dude. Yeah. Hold on. Let me check the meter. Sucked. Yeah.
He cracked himself up over that.
All right, let me go back to the phone lines, and it's Andy in Boston. Andy, kind of cool. We're on live now, right?
Yes, definitely cool.
We love being on WRKO. What's going on?
Nothing. You know, my thoughts on this is it seems like the state is overreaching. You know, I don't know why you'd want a cake baked by a guy who has the beliefs that he does. That being said, you know, I'm a Catholic, and this latest scandal comes out makes me think maybe I want to find a different Christian denomination to be a part of. But I don't understand why they'd want a cake from that particular baker. And it doesn't seem like he's living in the land of the free if he can't refuse the service.
Well, what's interesting, Eddie, is I think you make a wonderful point. If I go in there and the guy doesn't want to serve me because I'm tall and great looking, as you know I am, man. Come on, let's be real. If he doesn't want my money, I'm glad to take my money elsewhere. He can't be the only guy on earth baking cakes. And in fact, when we do a quick check, there are 61 bakers within the general region where he is. So they're only you know why they're going. Come on, dude. They're going there because they want to get this guy in trouble. They know he's going to say no.
Yeah, and wasn't Sarah Sanders Huckabee just refuse service for no reason?
Yes.
I mean, it's the same thing. It's you know, so disgusting that it's the state doing this. I mean, it's hard to even wrap your mind around a state doing such a thing. I mean, I thought it was bad out here in liberal Massachusetts, but apparently Colorado's giving us a run for their money.
Well, in Colorado, you have to understand they're always high. They're all smoking pot out in Colorado. You got to keep that in mind. Andy, we love you. We appreciate you. Yeah, he makes a really good point, Kerry, about Sarah Sanders.
That's right.
Is the state of Virginia going after that what was it called? The chicken coop? The chicken face?
Not
the
red that chicken? I'm aware
the
of.
The red rooster?
Yeah, the red called? Rooster,
the red face? Something like that? Is Virginia going after them because they refuse service to a woman who happens to have a certain political bent?
I don't think so.
That's exactly what's happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he makes a great point. Back at it, it's going to be Scott, who is in camp. By the way, open line, 888-941-PAG. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
Living the dream, hey, my friend. Talk to me.
Yeah, about this cake here, there's one way that this guy could get around that, and that's to tell these people who want the cake made that it's going to cost like $100,000 for the cake.
Well, he can't charge them one price and charge somebody else a different price for the same kind of cake. I mean, come on.
Well, but is there anybody else getting a transformation cake? I don't think so.
Well, it sounds to me like it's just a pink and blue cake. I don't think a cake can really be a transformation cake, can it? Unless there's some like obvious operational, vision that's on this cake. I mean, maybe they're actually depicting, here was this, take this piece first, and then it'll be this kind of cake. Unless they're doing that, then I don't know that you could actually do that. Scott, I appreciate you. What I love about that call, Kerry, is he said, yeah, Joe, how's it going? And I said, living the dream. He went, yeah. So the cake thing, he like completely blew me up.
Yeah, he really didn't care about your answer.
Like, yeah, don't you? Whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, yes, yeah.
Then my point is,
right, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I don't think you can do that. It would be price gouging. It would be a bait and switch if the guy advertises that a certain size cake costs $10 and now he's charging you $100,000 for a cake that's a transition cake. But that'd be an interesting way to do it, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You make the cake anatomically correct and you just direct them to make the cake continue to be correct. Take this piece first.
Ah, there you go.
Is it registering? You see what I mean?
Yeah, I know. You really don't. I know where you're going.
They can do a reassignment on the cake.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
Can you get that piece right over there? Come on, Gary. Dude. It's pretty good. What's wrong with that? It's a surgical cake. You're no fun. You're only working 4 days this week. Can you play along?
It wasn't that funny.
It was hella funny.
Oh,
it's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-PAGS. I'm going to make a statement that I made on the Twitters a little while ago. There is no such thing as a microaggression. Discuss. Because I guess, Sam, what is this deal? There's some sort of a study that has like 50 or 20 or something items of microaggressions against atheists.
Yeah, isn't that a funny story?
I don't know how funny it is. I couldn't actually find the list or else I would have read it. But there's some big, long study that somebody did, some research paper. And one of the things are, where do you get your morality? That's a microaggression against an atheist. Okay. How's that possible? It's just a valid question, isn't it?
Yes. Like a microaggression.
The vast majority of us, over 90% of Americans, believe in something, some higher power. So about 10% or less don't believe in anything. So those of us who believe in a higher power say to somebody who doesn't believe in squat, they think that they're the be-all, end-all, and they're arrogant enough to think there's nothing beyond them. And if you're an atheist, I'm actually saying it to you, you believe there's nothing beyond you. And if I say, hey, so where do you get your morality? Where's your moral compass come from? How is that a microaggression? It's actually a direct question.
It's not.
Where do you get it? And the answer generally is the universe. Mm. Human nature. It's human nature not to kill each other. Actually, I can show you in history that we've been killing each other for a long time on this earth. So where do you get your morality if it's not from God, Allah, Buddha, Hindu, whatever the hell, I mean, whatever it is that you believe, if you don't get it from Jesus Christ, I mean, then where is microaggression? Mm. No, it's not. It's a question. So in other words, if you ask somebody a question, that's considered a microaggression that can shut you down?
Nowadays, is it any question? Oh, that's a microaggression.
Well, actually, the fact that you wanted to ask me that.
Is that a microaggression?
That is a microaggression. It really is.
Not really.
And I wish you'd stop culturally appropriating my people.
How? I do not do that. I do not do that.
Okay, let me ask you something. All right, Smarty Pants?
Hmm.
Has the Lockheed family had spaghetti or pizza in the past month? Fill me in.
Yes, we have. Because we
appropriator.
No, I'm not appropriating your culture.
You totally appropriated my people.
No.
It is 888-941-PAGS. Sam, maybe I misread it. If you could find me a few examples of a microaggression against an atheist, we'll have that when we come back on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Details.
News Radio 1200 WOAI.
Hi, great to have you. It is the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Glad to have you along for the ride. Want to remind you about Super Beats. You know, Super Beats helps you out with your nitric oxide, your circulation, your blood pressure. Helps out with all that. If you're tired all the time, you're fatigued now that you've gotten older, and you want to get that energy back, that stamina back, you've got to look into Super Beats. Super Beats by Human has harnessed the power of nutrient-enriched beets and created a superfood that helps your body make more nitric oxide on its own, and you want that. The core philosophy of Human is to develop heart-healthy products for your body. One teaspoon of Super Beets daily supports your cardiovascular health and blood pressure levels, giving you natural energy without the need for a quick caffeine kick or even a sugar high. Real, healthy, natural energy. Call them right now. Get your dose. I drink them every morning. You should do so too. 800-516-8389 or joelovesbeats.com. Find out how you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats and free shipping with your first purchase. Again, get a hold of Super Beats right now. Get yourself a supply of it. 800-516-8389 or go online. joelovesbeats.com. Do it right now. I guess I'm getting people emailing me, and Sam researched this as well. I guess in Deuteronomy 22:5. It says, a woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this. I don't know, Carrie, does that mean a woman can get in trouble for wearing jeans?
I guess some people could think of it that way.
Is it? Let me just ask you this, just off the cuff. You didn't know this, but every Saturday I wear a house dress around the house.
I don't want to know that. I wish you could take that back.
Generally speaking, commando as well. So,
yuck.
What?
No.
What's the matter?
No. Stop talking about that. Stop.
I can't.
I don't want to hear it anymore. No. Quit.
I can't enjoy my freedom. Like what about my freedom?
No.
Why are you microaggressing me?
No. Do whatever you want. I don't want to have to hear about it. That's just gross.
I did post pictures last week on the Instagram. You didn't see?
Oh, I missed that. I will not be going on Instagram.
So if you're going to take that to mean a man shouldn't pretend to be a woman and a woman shouldn't pretend to be a man, then I do understand where he's coming from. I mean, if that's what he's hanging his hat on, I get it. That's fine. Let me go to the phone lines. A lot of people want to be heard on this. It's going to be Kenny in Oklahoma. Kenny, what's going on?
Hi, Joe. I appreciate your attitude.
Thanks, man.
You're quite a guy, and your gal is too. I really do love listening to you.
Well, I get that you like my attitude. I do want to apologize for Carrie's, however. Go ahead.
Oh, no, really?
What's going
good.
On?
That's good. You all are really funny.
Thank you.
There's one thing I think about real strong. I've been around a few years, and there's a little sign that everybody used to use. I think some places still use it, but it said, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone.
Right.
And, you know, that might not get you around a total court of law situation or where you're...
Well, it doesn't. I mean, after the 1964 Civil Rights Act, that doesn't hold true anymore because you can't say you're black, you can't eat here. You're white, you can't eat here. You're a woman, you can't eat here. You can't do that anymore. That really does clear some of that up. But other than those situations, you can say that to somebody.
Yeah, maybe if you just say it in the situation itself where it happens, instead of having a placard or a sign. But you know, that should still hold true. I see what you mean, though. You wouldn't want to refuse service to someone that's black or that's any other color or nationality. There's no really reason for that to me. But when someone's obnoxious or requiring something that you do that, and they won't take no for an answer, I think you've got the right to back up on it, don't you?
Kenny, again, you have the right as long as it's outside of the realm of what's covered by the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That's why this guy was found that Colorado was being over the top with him because they were not considering his First Amendment right to worship. And I think that's going to end up being the deal again. But they probably are looking to take him through the court system for another 7 years and hope to put him out of business. Kenny, I appreciate it. Thank you. I mean, great call, except for the whole and that girl too.
Oh, come on, he didn't say like
other
that.
Other than that, it was a. What do you mean?
Girl, too.
That's kind of what he said.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, like your attitude.
He's much nicer about it.
And no, he said, and your girl there, too. Sorry. I didn't properly call you my girl there, too.
Don't. Your girl.
We do have time. If you want to hear more about how I dress around the house on Saturdays, it's 888-941-PAGS.
Mm-mm.
Love to hear from you. Gary, what's going on in Florida? Hi.
Hey, Joe, how are you? Just two quick things. First of all, on that Deuteronomy, that's Old Testament law, which... we are no longer under, we're under God's grace, the church age God's grace.
Okay.
So that does not apply.
All right.
Number two is, if I was the baker, I would take the order and then I'd make the worst cake I could make.
So you would take the order, take their money, make it a horrible cake, hopefully they don't come back again.
And they'll probably come back and want their money back and I'd give it to them happily.
All right, Gary, sounds good. Gary says, screw Deuteronomy. And I'm going to make a horrible cake. No, I'm just. I think what I'm going to do is after every call, I'm going to summarize the call.
Okay.
I think that's what he said. It's pretty much what he said.
Not quite.
Let me go to Philip, who's in Texas. Philip, what's going on?
Hey, is Philip in Sabine, Texas.
All right, that's why I said Philip in Texas. It's a coincidence.
Instead of using a First Amendment defense, these bakers and photographers and florists and others that are being forced to provide services for weddings should use the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment was the amendment that abolished slavery, and it says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist in the United States nor any territory subject to their jurisdiction. So I would say I'm in a state that's subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, and I'm standing on the 13th Amendment, and you can't force me.
I disagree with you. Involuntary servitude suggests that you're not getting paid for the service.
No, it says that you're being forced to do something you don't want to do.
Well, actually, if you open up a bakery, you're saying that you want to bake cakes and stuff, so nobody isn't making you involuntarily do something you don't want to do. You're actually saying, this is what I do. You're voluntarily opening up a cake shop. I disagree with you. I get where you're coming from. I think it's a very smart argument.
We're
allowed to disagree. There you go.
And
what happens is, when it's the Joe Pag Show, I actually win. Did you know that rule?
I did know that rule.
All right, Philip. I appreciate you. Pop culture. Rap.
Dirty pop.
Hi, Paula. Make it happen.
E-T. All right, so had you heard that... oh, my gosh. I already forgot his name. Steve Perry.
I don't know.
Steve Perry was releasing a new album this year.
No, I did not hear that. His voice is significantly lower than it was.
Right, and he actually already released his first music video for his new album that's coming out in October.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so you might want to check it out.
Send me the link. I want to see this. I want to see what he sounds like.
Okay.
All right, brother, we got to go. That's it for us for now. That's Polo, for Carrie, for Sam, Joe Pags. Tomorrow, same time, same place. See you then.